Yo, everybody, welcome to episode 4 of Lunch Table Talks podcast, the podcast where two men sit down and talk about the best sport in the world, and that is American football. I'm your co-host, AJ, but the better one at intros, joined today by the man that makes it all happen, Francis. And today on episode 4, we are going to be picking up where we left off with all of the free agency transactions from this past Monday through Wednesday. Thursday and Friday, we're not going to go over, despite there being additional offensive and defensive moves for all 32 NFL teams. But with that being said, we're going to be going over pretty much Monday through Wednesday. There's going to be at least 15 to 20 players that we go over today, big ones for sure. And at the end of today's episode, we are also going to be doing a tier list for each NFL team and how we are going to rank them in terms of their free agency moves. So with that being said, Francis, if you want to go ahead and start us off with defense, we will go ahead and talk about some of the big moves that have been made on that side of the ball.
So one of the first free agent moves of free agency was defensive end Jonathan Greenard signing with the Vikings going into his age 27 season. He signed a 4-year deal after a standout season with the Houston Texans, a $76 million deal, $19 million a year, $42 million guaranteed. It looks like he hasn't signed the contract fully because the deals are not public per season yet, but we can assume with the guaranteed money and the length that the cap hit and the dead cap will be rather low, and I'm assuming it's going to be a really front-ended deal, since they got to pay Justin Jefferson soon and they want to be able to pay him wide receiver one money. This is a big signing for the Vikings because of the loss of Danielle Hunter. Very good edge rusher. Obviously, he didn't really stand out until they got another solidified edge rusher across from him in Will Anderson. So it's hard to say what he's going to do in Minnesota with nobody else on that defensive line. But I guess we'll see if he is worth the money they're paying.
Definitely a big move for Jonathan Greenard and the Minnesota Vikings. They really didn't have a pass rush, honestly, last year. They had a really solid season with Za'Darius Smith, couldn't pay him. He went to the Browns, and then that season, kind of just, aside from Danielle Hunter, didn't have any sort of presence. Danielle Hunter has actually been moved, and I'm actually going to talk about that now. With the next player we're going to go over, I'm going to kind of lump a bunch of them together. So there was definitely some bigger defensive end contracts so far. Guys like Leonard Williams getting extended. You've got A'shaun Robinson, Doris Armstrong, Bilal Nichols all signing pretty big contracts, multi-year as well. But the next defensive end I'm going to go over is going to be Denico Autry to the Texans on a 2-year, $20 million deal. And the reason why I'm going to talk about Denico Autry a little bit is because they also picked up Danielle Hunter. Danielle Hunter ended up going to the Texans. So it was pretty much like a player swap between Jonathan Greenard.
That's right. And I do remember that now. Hunter. I forgot that.
Yeah. Yeah. So now on that defensive line, you have Denico Autry. You've got Danielle Hunter coming off the edge. You've got Will Anderson. They also got some secondary help in Jeff Okuda as well. So the Texans defense is really coming to life, I feel like. You have a really good defensive head coach. Offense, obviously, super young. You know what they're capable of. Tank Dell, if he comes back healthy. You've got C.J. Stroud, who's an emerging quarterback over there, as well as guys like Nico Collins. So that offense and the defense is really starting to come to life. I think it's definitely going to be a solid team in the AFC South. Division that was kind of lackluster in terms of other divisions in the AFC. The AFC is just super stacked all around, but some of those moves have been really shaping that division up to be something kind of special, really something interesting to watch, especially when Anthony Richardson comes back healthy. Hopefully he can stay healthy and play more than 4 games because he has the potential to be a really, really good player. But enough of that. I'll go into kind of those contracts real quick. So Denico Autry, 2 years, $20 million. He is the 19th highest paid defensive end. First year contract is going to be $4.5 million base, $6 million signing bonus, $8 million hit with a $10.5 million dead cap hit. and the second year is going to be 8.5 mil with a 12 mil hit and a 3 mil dead. So pairing that with Danielle Hunter's contract is a huge one. 2 years, 49 million with 48 million guaranteed. So the first year he's got 8 mil base with a $5.25 million signing, 14.75 mil hit and 48 million in dead cap. Second year is going to be 19 million base with 24.75 million hit, 34.75 million dead. And then he also has a void year where he's got a $5.25 million hit. So definitely some big moves for the Texans on the defensive side of the ball.
Two of them, two
I'm
of the
excited
void
to see
years.
where they go. Oh, two other void years?
Yeah, Danielle Hunter has two void years.
Oh
Both
yeah, he does have two void
5.25.
years for 5.25 million. Yeah, so he's got two void years after his contract is up. So that
Oh
is going to be
yeah.
exciting for the Texans.
Texans made a lot of moves, which we're going to talk about later when we're talking about their tier list, but they also brought in former Bills defensive tackle Tim Settle. So you can tell they're really trying to beef up the defensive line because they're concerned after what happened to them in the playoffs. They definitely want to avoid that happening again if they can.
Oh yeah, D'Amico Ryan's a defensive guy, so
He wants to get
beefing up that side
some
of the ball
big
is
boys in
important.
there. Kind of weird to say. Next, we're going to talk about obviously Ravens stud and breakout defensive lineman Justin Madubuike going into his age 26 season. Young coming off his rookie contract, 4 seasons, 98 million total contract, 20, 24.5 million a year, and 75.5 of that is guaranteed. Rankings by cap hit, he is the number 14th defensive tackle and number 7th on his team. Going into his first year, the 6 mil base with a $25 million signing bonus. 12.25 million cap hit and a 53.5 million dead cap penalty. Second season, 7.5 million base with 18.75 million in cap hit and a 41.25 million dead cap penalty. For a third season, 22 million base with a 33 million cap hit and a 22.5 million dead cap penalty. And in his final season, it's an 18.5 million base salary with a 33.75 million cap hit. An 11.25 dead cap penalty. Like I talked about in last episode, a lot of these contracts are unmovable or untradeable until the final deal. This is especially with Madubuike going into his third season, his second last season, it's still a 22.5 million dead cap penalty. That's not really something you want to take on. And even in his final season, 11.25 isn't exactly something you want to eat. So it seems like Madubuike is going to be a Raven, and I doubt they would even want to move on from this contract if he can keep up what he's been doing. And defensive linemen play into their mid-30s pretty comfortably, so I don't plan on a regression for Madubuike here. He's going to be a huge part of this Ravens defense for the next 4 seasons, and I can definitely see another 3-4 year extension even after that. Him, Odafe Oweh, Patrick Queen behind them. It's going to be a really strong front seven for the next 5 to 6 years, probably.
Yeah, Matt a beast, huge contract, but I mean he's definitely earned it with the production that he has put into that defensive side of the ball over the last couple of years. Every single year just getting bigger and better. So a contract to match the kind of work that he's put in on that defense, already having plenty of studs. I mean, you've lost a couple of them, some we'll talk about later, but regardless, he is definitely one of the biggest and brightest spots on that defense, especially moving forward. So very happy for Matt a beast to get a really big contract, one that he definitely deserves. Next, we're going to talk about probably the biggest, single most important defensive piece for any individual team. That's Chris Jones being on the defensive side of the ball for the Kansas City Chiefs. That guy is the defense, more or less. That secondary is solid, but that front seven is so Chris Jones dependent. That guy is an absolute game wrecker. So getting him back on a 5-year, $158.75 million massive contract is insane for one, especially because they're paying Mahomes so much. I know he did a restructure. I don't remember exactly how much it was for. I want to say like 21 million or something like that. But freed up some cap space probably to make this extension happen. But getting him back for the long run, more than likely going to just retire a Chief at this point, already being 30 years old, is absolutely huge for that defense. Hopefully he can stay healthy and keep his presence on the field, because when he's on the field, everyone watching at home knows it, and you can just tell because the opposing offense is so much worse. They struggle so much when Chris Jones is in the play. But to break down his contract a little bit, average yearly salary of $31.75 million with $95 million guaranteed. So the first year of that contract is going to be a $1.125 million base with a $25 million signing bonus, $12.25 million cap hit, and $53.5 million in dead cap. Move to the second year, it's a $7.5 million base with an $18.75 million hit, $41.25 dead cap. And then year three, he takes a $22 million base with a $33 million hit, $22.5 million dead cap. Fourth year falls off a little bit with $18.5 million base, $33.75 million, and $11.25 dead cap. So definitely going to be, the last 2 years where he's taken on really big. Oh, wait, hold on. 13.75 mil. Oh, was I reading? I might have been reading Mad at Beast. My bad. Oh, yeah, I was reading Mad at Beast. All right, sorry about that. Yeah. So I got the first year I got right. Second year, 13.75 mil, 34.85 million hit, 52.75 million dead cap. Third year is going to be 19 million base with a 41 million hit, 18 mil dead cap. Fourth year is going to be 28.25 million base, 34.35 million hit, 10 million dead cap. And the fifth year, $35 million base with a $41 million hit and 6 million dead cap. So at that point, he's going to be 34, 35 years old. We just recently saw the legend Aaron Donald retire with 1 year left on his contract. If he makes it all the way to that $35 million, that would be crazy. But I wouldn't put it past Chris Jones, especially if he could stay healthy. Because, like I said, that guy is insane.
No, for sure. You can see how cheap the contract starts. Only a 7.35 million cap hit in the first season and 1.125 million base salary. So he's making it real easy on them, and it just kind of goes up from there until it hits 41 in the third season, back down to 34, and then back up to 41 again. So he's kind of giving them the leeway to work with this season after the franchise tag with Jarius Sneed, and Mahomes is still making money, but he gave them the wiggle room to be able to make this extension happen. And they're
Yeah.
trying to bring back Legarius Sneed long term still, whether he gets traded or he gets extended. Chris Jones definitely taking one for the team here in the first season, but he knows that he will be getting his money soon and he's not worried. Defensive tackle Christian Wilkins signed a 4-year deal with the Raiders going to his age 28 season. I didn't expect him to be so old when I was looking at the contract. I thought he'd be around Matt Ibuka's age, considering he's just coming out of his rookie year. But he must have come in at age 23, five seasons as a rookie, and now he's getting a $110 million 4-year deal with the Las Vegas Raiders. $27.5 million a year, 82.75 of that is guaranteed via cap hit. He's the number 27th defensive tackle in the NFL and the number 5 on the team. Going into season one, 5 million base salary, 24 million signing bonus, 11.5 million in cap hit, and 57.5 million in dead cap. Season two, 8 million base with a 35 million cap hit number and a 46.5 million dead cap penalty. Season three, 25.25 million base salary with a 31.75 million cap hit number and a 12 million dead cap penalty. And the final season, we see a 25.25 million base number with 31.75 million in cap hit and only a 6 million dead cap penalty. I think this is a really good deal for the Raiders. They get the defensive tackle they needed. I had them going in my mock a few episodes ago, but they grab him here in free agency. And he's making good money, but they don't have anybody to pay, so the Raiders can afford to pay him. And then if they wanted to in his fourth season, this is a really easy contract to get rid of. They move on, they move him for a piece, they move him just to free up cap space. But I think Christian Wilkins will be a Raider through the four seasons. And he is a force to be reckoned with, even if he does some weird things in the pile sometimes.
Definitely going to be sick having him and Max Crosby coming at you. Alrighty, next we're going to be going over the outside linebacker, Bryce Huff. Picked up by the Eagles, 3 years, $51 million, averaging 17, just over $17 million a year, with a $34 million guaranteed. No details on the contract yet, but definitely a huge pickup for the Eagles. Who, it's just crazy how I feel like they only pick up defense. They love defensive pieces. They love having depth and moving people around, and this year is no exception with guys like Bryce Huff, re-signing Brandon Graham, which is huge. You pick up a multitude of linebackers, Julian Aguara, Zach Bond, Devin White. You brought CJ GJ back. So this Eagles defense, it looked abysmal at the back half of the season, especially in that wild card. Yeah, the wild card matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And they're definitely addressing it by getting a multitude of good, solid defensive players to hopefully add some consistency to the defensive side of the ball.
No, for sure. Bryce Huff is going to replace some of the lost pieces there and some of the aging pieces there. The Eagles definitely need to get younger at the cornerback and defensive line position. Obviously, we know of the retirement of Fletcher Cox,
Legend.
so that's a huge piece in the middle of the line they're losing, but they have drafted a lot of young defensive tackles over the last 3 seasons. So we know that their interior of the defensive line will be fine, but as far as edge rushers go, they're getting older. Another re-signed Brandon Graham. I'm always surprised that he's still around every time I see he's re-signed for a season. But he's more of just a veteran in the locker room at this point. But we'll see what Bryce Huff can do. I think that the deal is a little much for him personally, as a designated pass rusher for the Jets. He didn't really play too often. When he did play, he flashed, but he's not an every down sort of pass rusher like you want somebody to be at 17 million plus a season. But I will be open to him proving me wrong for sure. Outside linebacker Brian Burns was traded to the New York Giants and then subsequently extended for 5 years, $141 million total. The deal is 28.2 million per year, with 87.5 of that guaranteed in cap hit, making him the number seventh outside linebacker in the NFL and number three on the team. Season one giving him an 18 million base salary, 25 million signing bonus, 23.5 million in cap hit, and 76 million dead cap penalty. In season two, we see a 22.25 million base salary with a 27.75 million cap hit and 53 million in dead cap penalty. 22.25 million base in year three, followed by a 28.75 million cap hit number and 25.75 million in dead cap. 21.5 million in season four with a 35.5 million cap hit and 10 million in dead cap. And then in his final season, we see a 21.5 million base with 30 million in cap hit and 5 million in dead cap. The Giants are keeping this pretty consistent from season to season, not loading it too heavy in the front or back end. Again, like the Raiders, not having to pay anybody on the team allows them to shell out money pretty comfortably for the next 5 seasons. The dead cap around season five at 5 million makes it really easy to move him if you want to. Edge rushers aren't like defensive tackles. They don't play super comfortably into their mid to late 30s. As we can see with a lot of edge rushers wearing down, they're not as big as the interior guys, so they do get kind of hurt later in their careers, as we see with somebody like Von Miller. But Brian Burns at age 31 in season 5 could still be productive. That's not a bad age. So I could see him playing out his season there, unless he's not being as productive as they might have hoped. Then they might move him just to save that 30 million they would be getting back. With the 30 million and a half saved in cap hit, 5 million dead cap penalty, they'd be a profiting 25 million in cap. Not a bad deal, but the outside linebacker for the Panthers formerly will now be a Giant.
Crazy, it's a crazy deal.
Oh,
It's funny
absolutely.
that they pretty much shipped what they got from shipping out Big Cat.
Oh yeah,
Because
then I'd say they
I think that
definitely
they
upgraded.
also gave, oh yeah, for sure. I think they also gave away that Seahawks pick too. I don't think they gave away their second, but
No, they gave away their pick, so they're moving back theoretically.
okay.
What is it? The 7-8 picks and gaining Brian Burns, so
Yeah.
not a bad
Yeah.
deal.
No, not at all. Especially since you have the money to pay him comfortably as well.
Oh, for sure.
Moving on to the next player of interest. That is going to be inside linebacker Patrick Queen, moving from AFC North rival now, Baltimore Ravens to the Pittsburgh Steelers. That whole Lamar trend was hilarious. He was like, "You're
You're
dead to
dead
me."
to me. Yeah.
And like
That
a
was
whole bunch
because
of like
of
interdivisional trades.
that was because was Tiki Barber
Was Tiki Barber,
tweeted
right? Yeah,
that
to
out, said something to
Saquon.
Saquon, and he was dead serious about it too.
Yeah.
And Lamar found that so funny. So he started tweeting at all of his teammates that left to join other teams.
Yeah, there was other people. I think there was other players that
He
picked up on
said
that
it
too. I want to say like,
to Gino and all that. It was funny.
yeah, I want to say Kyler said it to Rob too or something like that. I don't know. But
I
yeah,
didn't
it's
see that
funny.
one. I don't doubt it though.
But yeah, so Patrick Queen to the Steelers, 3-year, $41 million deal, averaging $13.66 million per year, 13.84 of that guaranteed. So he's going to start his contract with a $2.25 million base, $11.6 million at signing, $6 million hit with $13.84 million in dead cap. Second year of the contract, he's going to earn $7.16 million base, with a $17.7 million hit and $7.7 million in dead cap. And the last year of his contract, $10.8 million base, $17 million hit with a $3.8 million dead cap. Definitely a really good pickup for the Steelers, who have always had a defensive culture. The defense has already been insane for the last number of years. It's definitely carried the team. How they continue to win despite having a very lackluster offense, to be nice, is insane. Their defense has always pulled through and kept them in games. Having somebody in the interior linebacker position like Patrick Queen, super athletic, big guy, can fly around, make some plays. Still have TJ Watt out there. You've got guys like Highsmith and Cole Holcomb. You've got a pretty cool secondary as well, picking up Dante Jackson, Deshaun Elliott as well. They're still finding ways to improve the defense. Offense is looking, you got Russell Wilson, but you also lost Deontay Johnson. We'll see what they do. But defense for the Steelers is somehow looking better despite already being really, really solid in the last couple of years.
Yeah, no, it's hard to say what they're gonna do with Patrick Queen. I've heard Ravens fans call him a Roquan Merchant. So we saw him in Baltimore without Roquan, obviously, previous to Roquan Smith, his first 3 seasons there. But I don't remember him being the all-pro Pro Bowl level player he was when Roquan did arrive. It's definitely easy to see how somebody like Roquan can elevate Patrick Queen's game, but this is awfully reminiscent to the linebacker the Steelers had a few seasons ago, now on another team, Devin Bush. So I think Patrick Queen is a very similar player to Devin Bush, so I can see him having a similar impact. Devin Bush was a good player on the Pittsburgh Steelers, and with, like you mentioned, good linebackers besides Patrick Queen on the team, like TJ Watt, designated pass rusher more or less, and Alex Highsmith, who can kind of do a little bit of both. I can see Patrick Queen definitely being very successful in the Steelers defense with the additions of Deontay Johnson now and Joey Porter with Minkah still up top. I think that is a, like you said, a very good defense if they can get the coaching right and Russell Wilson decides that he doesn't want to curse this team. I think
Gotta get him a weapon.
they
Gotta get
could
him enough
win
weapons.
probably 8 to 8, 9, 10 games, maybe. We'll see though.
Yeah.
The second middle linebacker I'm going to talk about is Bobby Wagner, going to his age 34-35 season, now with the Washington Commanders, only signing a 1-year deal. The only thing we know really is that it's a $8.5 million contract. I'm not sure how much of that is going to be signing bonus or how much of that is going to be guaranteed. But I wouldn't doubt if the whole thing is guaranteed. And I think this is just a really good number for an aging Bobby Wagner. They're kind of bringing him in to be the mind of the defense. He's not the athletic specimen he used to be, but he hasn't lost a step when it comes to defensive IQ and reading an offense. So he can teach the really young linebackers there kind of what it's all about and just bring the intellect and the experience to the Commanders defense that they don't have.
No, it's definitely gonna, man, I don't know about you, but like some of these moves just feel very Madden to me. Like seeing Bobby Wagner in a Commanders jersey
Gonna be
is
weird.
gonna be so interesting. It's so crazy. But yeah, no, I definitely think the defense, you shipped out two of your best defensive players last season, Chase Young and Montez Sweat. So bringing in a guy who, although is past his prime, is very wise and intelligent, and to have him in a position where he can pretty much be the play caller for your defense, is going to be good for that defense for sure. You kind of have like a really intelligent mind in there that some of the young kids could feed off of. So, Bobby Wagner to the Commanders is definitely a good fit, I would say.
It's
Pretty much
crazy
where
to
he's going
think
to go in his
that
career.
back in his prime, back in like 2016, the way caps and contracts have changed, he was making just about the same amount of money back in 2016 when he was an all-pro level player compared to
Yeah,
now. He's
that is
making the
insane.
same amount and how far they've come and how big the cap has gotten since then is absolutely insane to look back on and think about what players were making back then.
Yeah, it's crazy. The cap just keeps getting larger and larger. It's insane the amount of
Yeah,
money that
I
they're
don't
able
see
to
it
shell out for
slowing down
players.
either.
No, especially not with Taylor Swift in the league now.
She's on roster for the
Alrighty.
Chiefs.
She's the reason they won the Super Bowl. All right.
Exactly.
So looking at what we have left, five players left. I'm gonna go over the next two for obvious reasons. So then you can
Okay.
pick up and go over the third one.
I'll go there.
So next up on the list, we're gonna be talking about Kenny Moore, the corner, nickel corner for the Indianapolis Colts, signing a 3-year, $30 million extension, of course, averaging 10 million years over the course of that extension. I want to say I saw is now the highest paid nickel
Paid nickel
corner of
corner
all
for all
time.
time. Yeah.
Yeah, and who better than Kenny Moore, who has been so good and so consistent over the course of his career.
I can name someone better, but yeah, that's fine. No, continue.
Yeah, so going over his contract, first year is going to be 4.24 million base, $2.25 million at signing, $6.97 million in hit, and a $60 million dead cap. Second year is going to be a $7.99 million base, $10.75 million hit, and $9.51 million in dead cap. Third and final year of the extension, $9.49 million base with a $12.25 million hit and $2.5 million in dead cap. So after the first year, the dead cap is going to be too crazy. He's 29 years old. I expect him to play through this extension and be 32. He's, like I said, super consistent, always a playmaker, always in the play. And to have a really, really good piece like that in the secondary for the Colts moving forward for the next 3 years, I think is going to do them really well.
No, for sure. He's definitely a mainstay in that defense. And I looking at the reactions from Colts fans themselves, I don't think that they were really appreciative of this signing. They seem sort of upset about it, if anything.
Really?
I don't think they're really appreciating a good nickel corner. Kenny Moore isn't exactly an all-pro, but it's hard to find really good nickel corners in the NFL at one of the hardest positions to play. And I
For sure.
think maybe giving someone like Kenny Moore going into his age 29, 30 season, 3 years, 30 million, is maybe a mil or two more than I'd be happy with for my team. But you keep a long time Colt around and somebody who's willing to go out there and play in the trenches for your team and you have the money. I don't think you can really be upset at this as a Colts fan. And maybe those guys weren't speaking for the majority, but it did confuse me how somebody can really be upset at this for their own team. A really good signing for the Colts, and Kenny Moore is going to be a Colt till the end of his career, if I'm going to make a prediction here. I think at the end of this 3 years, he signs another 2-3 year contract and then retires a Colt.
Yeah, no, I don't see a reason why he would leave. So moving on, the next player, I'm going back to back so we could talk about this one. It's going to be the 3 year extension of Keyshawn Nixon, for my Green Bay Packers. So this one for a lot of people, is a head scratcher because Keyshawn Nixon is primarily a return man, all pro kick returner. Packers fans know watching this guy return the ball is such a relief because we've had an absolute nightmare stretch of return men. You've got guys tearing their ACLs on opening kickoffs. You've got guys muffing six, seven punts and kickoffs a year. And then you put Keyshawn Nixon back there. And then from the jump, he's taken off touchdowns, 60, 70-yard kick returns. Turning nothing into something, getting hit, 2 yard loss on a punt return, breaks the tackle, picks up 10, 15 yards. Something that we haven't had in a long time, and it has not been very consistent for a while. So him getting a 3 year, $18 million extension to a lot of people seemed like a head scratcher. Why would you pay a return man that much? But little do people know, he started 13 games at quarter for us last year. In a year where we've had some injuries, a lot of our stars, or at least starters, missing time, some more than others. But guys like Eric Stokes being out pretty much the entire year, Jair off and on with injury between his back and his ankle. Keyshawn Nixon stepped in, and he was a really, really big part of that defense, with over 500 coverage snaps and 270 run defense snaps last year. Ended up clocking a total of 80 tackles, had some pass deflections. His one interception came from the interception against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs last season. So he's not necessarily just a returner for us. Moving forward, depending on what we do in the draft, he might not end up starting as many games, but I could definitely see him being in there. Maybe being like a rotational guy, of course, going to be a kick returner. But if one guy goes down, which you kind of anticipate at this point, like our defensive back room has been kind of like off and on in terms of are you healthy, are you injured? You know, we might see him more often than not next year and years to come. So.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I do want to see the actual year-to-year breakdown of the deal before I make an exact
Yeah, no details on the contract either, but.
feeling on what this deal is to me. Like you said, I thought, I don't know, I'd say maybe a 315 mil would be more comfortable to me, but I'm not too upset at the deal you guys have. I want to say 18 million left in cap space, somewhere around that number. So I want to start, if I'm you guys, I'm starting to save that now for the players
For
you're gonna
J-Lo,
have to
yeah.
pay Jordan Love. After that, two more seasons, Christian Watson's done, Dobbs season after that, Jaden Reed. So
Musgrave, yeah.
yeah, exactly. So you're gonna have a really lot. Your whole offense, really, the next 3 seasons has to be re-signed.
23.6 average age for our offense.
Yeah, you got to start saving the money now. Bringing back Keyshawn is important, though. But you guys got to hit in the next couple of drafts for sure because you're not going to keep everybody. I'm going to talk about the next two, actually. I'm sure
All
you'll
right.
understand.
Yep.
The next two don't actually have year-to-year breakdowns. I mean, the first one's only a 1 year contract, but the second one hasn't really been talked about much yet in the media. Safety Jordan Poyer going back to Miami, where he's from, and signing with the Miami Dolphins for a 1 year contract. As a Bills fan, I love Jordan Poyer as a player and respect everything he did for us from 2016 to 2023, being a 7 year Bill. He will always be a legend in Buffalo, but going to the Dolphins, go fuck yourself, pal.
You're
He's
dead to me.
not, he's, you're dead to me, as the legend Tiki Barber would say. But I don't think he's going to be much of an impact for the Dolphins. A 1-year deal, we don't even know the amount yet, in his age 34 season. He was already losing a step. He was injured multiple times last season alongside Micah Hyde, who was injured even more. Jordan Poyer's not the player he used to be. He is still intelligent enough to play safety at a good level, a very good level. But this is not a player for the Dolphins that you go, wow, that puts them in playoff contention. That's gonna put them over the hump. They're gonna beat the Bills for once. It's not quite the signing to me that some people are making it out to be. I guess some people look at the name and go, oh, he was an all-pro 3 seasons ago. That was great.
Yeah,
But
how much are you really gonna see Jordan Poyer?
I don't know. I expect him to start. They lost DeShone Elliott, so I think he'll
Well, he's
start
been healthy though.
across Javon Holland. Who knows? I mean, that's secondary. They just brought in the corner, Kendall Fuller. So he's replacing Xavier Howard. That was the top corner remaining in the free agent market, which isn't saying much as the corner market wasn't super heavy. It was a really defensive line and linebacker heavy free agency
Oh, yeah.
class this year. I wouldn't say any of the corners really wowed me. Kendall Fuller is a really good corner, but he's not like prime Xavier Howard level, who was a defensive player of the year candidate.
Right.
I don't think that defense doesn't really scare me. Losing Jerome Baker and replacing them with the players they did, just having to get cheaper to save money. I'm really
Cheaper.
concerned for how this team is gonna sign anybody. They're gonna have to keep pushing money back, and they're gonna put themselves in cap hell. When they have to extend Jalen Waddle and Tua, I can't see how they're gonna keep all the stars around. I'm sure they'll find a way. The cap is a myth. Not really, but there's ways that the GMs can manipulate this money.
And
It
who
just
knows what
it
they can
makes
bring
it
to that.
so easy for anybody to bring back anyone if they really want to. The way that you can move money, it does make it difficult later, but there's always a way. So
Right.
Jordan
And
Poyer
they can
is a
always just raise
Dolphin.
it too.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that the cap will be up another 10, 15 mil. A lot of time Waddle needs to be extended, and Tua next year it might be up a couple million.
Yeah, year
But
over year at this point.
yeah, it really depends on how sales go. We could see it was another 20, 30 million jump like this year. A lot of that is coming back because of COVID, so it was kind of built up for a while. So that's why we saw such a big jump this year. So we won't see
Right.
such a drastic jump again, as far as I'm concerned. But we could definitely see a jump over the next couple of years before Waddle needs to be re-signed. I think he's got 2 more seasons left if we're counting the fifth-year option.
Yeah, for sure.
Free safety or strong safety, safety. It's really hard to say whether these guys are bound to one safety position. A lot of these guys are just mobile, and
Interchangeable, yeah.
yeah, they can move wherever depending on who's playing, where they need them. I expect Kevin Byard to play more of a weak side, a quote unquote free safety,
Yeah.
because of who they have. They have the bigger safety. Oh God, what's his name? I can't believe I'm blanking on his name now too.
Jalen Johnson.
No, he's a corner. The big guy is like 6'2".
Yeah, I don't know. I see him twice a year and I don't know his name,
Jaquan
so.
Brisker. Jaquan
Yeah, that
Brisker.
guy.
I see Jaquan Brisker being more of a strong side safety, box safety, and Kevin Byard playing more of the free high safety. A 2-year, $15 million contract, $7.5 million a year. Again, don't know the year-by-year breakdown, but it's not really super important with a contract of this size. He'll get
Right.
the brunt of the money in year one, and then year two will kind of be like an opt-out sort of really cheap year where they can get rid of him if they need to, or they can keep him if they're playing well. But just kind of an addition to the Bears that gives them sort of like Jordan Poyer and sort of like the Bobby Wagner signing, just an
Just a vet, yeah.
experienced, smart player that gives them the brain that they need to elevate their defense, even if he's not the athletic specimen he used to be going into his age 32 season. Kevin Byard, I think, is a really good signing for the Bears.
Won't matter. 12-0.
Yeah,
All right,
I
last
can see
one
it.
we're gonna be talking about. Last one we're talking about today, another Packa. And that is none other than Xavier McKinney. Woo boy. So I was so desperate for a DB in free agency. I'm also super desperate for one of the draft too. But with how many options we had, especially not bringing Darnell Savage back, him going to the Jags, I was so desperate, like hands and knees praying, please pick up a safety, please pick up a corner, please pick up anybody to help our secondary out. Xavier McKinney was at the top of my list. I kept saying it's too good to be true. The Packers don't make super big free agency moves. Josh Jacobs came first, and I was like, no, it's not happening. And Francis kept telling me, it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen, believe. And I'm like, nah, man, I can't see it. Like, we don't make big moves. We just got Josh Jacobs. Like, we're not making another huge move like that. And sure enough, we pick up Xavier McKinney. I am so stoked. Now, if I'm being completely honest, I haven't seen too much Xavier McKinney play because I do not watch the Giants. But I know his potential. I know how good he is on paper. I obviously have seen some of the plays that he's made, especially since signing him on Instagram and Twitter and everywhere else. But having that guy in the secondary is going to be insane. Like, I am so excited. We still have the rest of free agency and the draft to go to see who else we can bring in, if anybody. But Xavier McKinney is going to be lights out. I'm so confident. He was what, highest greatest pass coverage safety as well as like run defense or something like that. But I was just looking at his stats. 94 solo tackles at safety. Like, Packers fans, like, you know our inability to tackle, especially in the secondary. 94 solo tackles from a safety, like, we've
Big
needed that
guy.
for a decade. We've
Big
needed that for
guy.
a decade, man.
Yeah, you don't
You
really have
see
any
all
big guys in the back end of your defense, and he's gonna
this?
give
Dude.
you that big thumper sort of player.
You see all of these highlights, and they're always against us. Players breaking 8, 9 tackles. That infamous Alvin Kamara screen where we're literally just falling off the guy. Like, our DBs cannot wrap up, man. They could cover, but they cannot wrap up. So to get a guy like Xavier McKinney, who can play in the box, who can also cover with the best of them, is going to be insane. But enough rambling about him and how good he is. I'm done glazing him. We'll go over the contract. It is 4 years, $67 million, with an average $16.75 million contract. $23 million is guaranteed. First year is not crazy in terms of base, 1.45 million. Big $23 million in the signing. $7.8 million hit with $23 million in dead cap. I want to say like he has an opt out year like just after the first year, but I doubt it's gonna happen. 2.75 mil base, $17 million dollar hit, $17.25 million dead cap in the second year of the contract. Third year is gonna be 4.25 mil base, $19 million cap hit, $11.5 million dead cap. Fourth year, $16.1 million base, $22.5 million hit, and $5.75 million in dead cap. So very, very heavy with the signing bonus. And then it's a pretty back heavy contract, I imagine, because they're gonna put extending Jordan Love. And then, like you mentioned, we have in just a couple of years a couple of important positions that we might need to extend, depending on how healthy and how much production we can get out of them over the next season or two. But regardless, I'm super excited. Kid is young. I want to say he's gonna be 26, like halfway through the season.
25. He's 24 right now.
Okay, so this is gonna be his 25th.
Yeah, he
Okay, his
turns
age 25
25
here.
as the season starts, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. All right, even better. Yes. So we're gonna get his prime years out of him, I hope. I hope he can stay healthy. I hope he stays on the field. I know he has a history of staying on the field. Hopefully that can continue for him, because I would love to see this guy week after week. Xavier McKinney jersey definitely incoming for my collection. I am super, super excited that we made big free agency moves this year.
Yeah, hopefully he can not get a bunch of fines like he did last year, a couple hits to defenseless players and unsportsmanlike conduct granted him almost $30,000 in fines last year. So maybe he can hit people
Play
after
off of those.
they've caught the ball.
Yeah.
But no, definitely a really good contract for you guys. I think for the safety market, I think it's definitely a really good value, as he's making about what safeties make when they're signed at his age. Safety like Eddie Jackson and Marcus Williams, what they made when signed at his age. So I think it's just a really good run-of-the-mill contract for a player of his value, and I hope it turns out for you guys. I'm not sure on his injury history, but I don't think he's really had any problems.
I'm pretty sure he's been very durable. I want to say, like, I've read of him being a very durable safety.
No, for sure. I can definitely see that. So hopefully he keeps that up.
I'm praying, man. Injuries are the most heartbreaking, unpredictable thing in the NFL, dude.
Yeah, no, it really sucks, especially when a really talented player gets hurt. He's also, I want to say he's super versatile. Yeah, he's played over the last couple of seasons. He's played 27 snaps at wide corner, over 160 snaps in the slot, almost 400 snaps in the box, 82 snaps even at defensive line, and playing on the special teams.
Sounds like
I
he
think
plays a
he's,
lot.
yeah, I think this is just last season. Just last season, he played almost 400 snaps in the box. He played
I
almost as
don't
many snaps in the
anticipate playing
box
the box
as he
that
played
much.
at safety.
Yeah, I don't anticipate playing in the box that much for us.
I mean,
But.
you never know with how the draft could go. If you don't get another linebacker you like, him and Quay could play some light sets in the box, like a Dallas sort of defense. And
Potentially.
I think
Potentially.
you guys have that capability now. I think even having the capability makes it scary.
Yeah, we could
So
definitely reset the packages for sure and throw some crazy looks at offenses this year.
I think switching it up could be really healthy for you guys and getting some new things out there.
Man, I'm so excited for the season, dude. This
It's
season
gonna
is
be
going to
really
be so
good.
much fun, dude.